Hi, welcome. Happy Monday. We're a day late. So also Dee Dee is traveling today, so we're gonna be missing Dee Dee, unfortunately. Safe travels to Dee Dee. But we're gonna talk about Happily Ever After. Tomorrow we're gonna talk about MILF Manor and Love in Paradise finale, which I just watched. So hi, Portuguese Princess. Oh, Kara's here. Perfect. Happy Monday. So we're gonna get into episode 15, Happily Ever After. We're gonna talk about this pageant stuff. We're gonna talk about Gino as a pageant coach manager. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hot. I'm tired of driving.
Oh, it's hot
Oh,
there too.
yeah.
Is it hot? Oh. It was
Well,
like 90 something today, you know.
it's hot for me. It was 90.
Oh, that is hot. That's our cool, your scorching, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like
Absolutely.
96, 97, we start using the word hot.
Yeah.
You know, just 90, 91, we're like, oh, I could do yard work today. You
Yeah.
know, like we're like, oh, that's not terrible. Hi, Eileen. So yeah, we're gonna talk about episode five. I'm sorry, episode 15. We're not in five, 15 episodes in of Happily Ever After. We got like five more to go. I want to talk about Gino as a manager, right? Because Gino took on this role with Jasmine as her manager, and she kind of feels like he's not genuinely caring about whether or not she wins.
Yeah.
She's more so worried about how hot the other women are. And I wanted to get your opinion on this because I know for a fact, I learned from the Kardashians that Kris Jenner is a momager, right? And she's very, very, she's the reason why her daughters, well, how many of them are billionaires? Like, I don't remember now. Like, she's the reason why they're so successful. And I know the key to success doesn't always sound nice, friendly, kind. It doesn't always sound like it's coming from a good place. Sometimes you really have to push people. So in this episode, Gino was like, you know, I think these other women are really talented. Like, I don't have a lot of confidence in you. Like, where do you think that he should have been coming from? Should he been a husband first and just being more supportive? Or do you think it's necessary when you're managing someone to give them tough
He
love?
was giving constructive criticism. He wasn't being mean. He was just like, this is what you need to do. Because let's be real, he wanted to say everybody was better than you. I looked it up. She didn't even place in like the top 20. She didn't even place. She didn't even make the list.
Well, that's what I heard. Okay, so Portuguese Princess sent me the roster for 2023's Miss International World Pageant. Sounds bootleg. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Right.
Sounds bootleg. But she didn't make the contestant list. What does that even mean? How do you not make, once you pay the fee, I thought you were a contestant. Like, I'm not versed in the pageant world or whatever, but I thought once you paid the registration fee, your name would at least be listed as a contestant,
Yeah,
right?
I'm not versed in it either. I have no idea how it actually works, but I do know that she didn't even make the list.
That's crazy. I mean, there was some criticism when she went to rehearsal. Also, rehearsal kind of looked like it was in a closet where they kept
Right.
extra chairs. It looked really bootleg, and like, I don't know. I saw that Shaboody did a little background, and he said the last time that the president of the pageant tweeted was 2018, and it was about the pageant. So the pageant hasn't been super active. It
Yeah.
doesn't necessarily mean it's not still happening, but usually when you're doing something like this, it's gonna be on social media, right? Like, I feel like you
Right.
would share pageant dates, pictures, contestants, the winner.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like there would be something from 2018 on
I
if it
think it
just
was set
happened
up.
last year.
I think it was all set up for the show.
So do you think that was even a real
No.
pageant? Because I had never.
She walks in, she's like, "Hey, everybody." And everybody's like, didn't even know
Crickets.
it was a manager, didn't care.
Crickets. And she also entered in as Miss Panama, but she lived in Michigan. Is that allowed? Is it just
Right.
like, because again, I don't know a lot about this, but is it just where you originate from? You're allowed to enter in as that person, even if you're not living
I have
there?
no
Like, I had so
idea
many
how
questions.
any of these pageants work, but I looked up everything I could and she was on nothing. So I think it was
Yeah,
for the show.
that's the recurring theme. They're saying that she wasn't a part of it. there's no, it's weird because Jasmine is very vain. She posts a lot of pictures. And once an episode airs, you're allowed to post anything from that episode. So I was waiting for all of her pageant photos, right. You know, when she participated right. in the pageant, her sash, you know, that's something that a lot of women would want to yeah. share, you know, especially yeah. Jasmine is full of herself, right? Like she would want people to see that she did that. And I didn't see anything about it. And I was like, I'm beginning to think that this was a storyline, just like the, it would cost like $2,000 or $3,000 to bring my kids here. So yeah. let's not do it. Like, yeah. and then they never talked about it again. Like, I'm beginning to think that this is all a storyline, kind of like with Lauren and Alexi, right? Because we're like 15 episodes in and we still haven't really established a storyline with them. It's just the war that's going on that involves Alexi's family, which I don't want to say it's not a storyline, but we kind of knew about this already. And thank God his family is doing fine.
Right.
And then her surgery, you know, there's no real conflict. There's no real issues that are affecting them specifically. Yeah. Like I know emotionally Alexi is probably in another universe. I can't imagine what that's like, right? Like you're living your life and hoping that a bomb doesn't destroy or wipe out your entire family and country. Like I can't imagine how you would be able to fall asleep at night with that type of issue. And what kind of worried me in this episode, is it safe to fly in and out of
that's
the country?
What I was wondering. I mean, the war just started.
Right? And
like, I don't know. I was trying to put myself in the shoes. If I was in another country and we were at war, would I fly home? Like, you'd want to be home, but that'd be scary.
That's very scary because when there's bombs flying through the air, you know, airplanes are targeted.
Yeah.
And, you know, airports are targeted right. in these types of situations. So that kind of worried me a bit too. He's like, oh, I'm ready to fly home. And I'm like, is it a good time yeah. to fly home? And it's like, I can't judge anybody because in that situation, if my wife or my family or my kids were wherever that was at, I would want to be there. So right. I can't judge anybody for that. I would probably try to get to where they are too, because you feel helpless when you're not there.
But I mean,
you know, you,
if it was me personally and it was my family over there, I would be trying to figure out how to get my family here.
Yeah, that too. That too, because there is asylum. You can seek asylum when there is a war. Oh, so hold on. Donna said that she was watching Lauren's stories, and Lauren is saying that the U.S. is lying about the severity of the safety and what's going on in Israel. And I kind of did see her talking about that on Instagram. She was saying how the severity of what they're showing us on TV, of what they're telling us is going on. She said that they were there. I think they're there right now, actually, if yeah. I'm watching her stories correctly. And she said that she feels perfectly safe. You know, she doesn't feel like they're in danger. Anyone around her is in danger. She feels like the U.S. is really hyping it up. And I wonder why that is. Like, why are we hyping up something that's, if it's not terrible, we see enough terrible things right. in the world already. If something isn't as bad, let's please tell it yeah. as it is. You know, like, we don't need any more induced panic or fear. Because, you know, they're making us believe that children are being hurt and killed every day over there. And if that's not true, that's a horrible lie that we're keeping up, and I wish they would stop, right? Yeah.
So I'm over the Lauren and Alexi story. I'm over their storyline. I'm over them. But my heart did break when his dad was leaving and watching him cry. You could feel his emotions and stuff. And that was the first yeah. time I ever was like, wow, these are real humans. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that every time I watch these people, well, I'm lying. I don't think that about it. But no. That was the most humanizing part of them. We'll say that.
Yeah. You know, I'm not like a fan of Lauren and Alexi, like in general. Like I feel like they're probably super nice. I don't know them, but like they're probably decent human beings. But like entertainment wise, you're right. There's not much bringing to the table. Like if you follow their Instagram, it's a lot of promotion. It's a lot of product partnerships. You don't get real people. So you're right. That was a real emotion, a real moment.
Yeah.
Showing what he was like, and you could hear it in his voice. He was terrified. Yeah. Like, this could possibly be the last time I see him.
Yeah.
You know, you could see that, and that was real. So, yeah, I mean, I like that. And like I told y'all, I tried to watch their spinoff. I got through, like, the first episode, and I was just like, nothing is happening.
Yeah.
No offense. I'm happy that they're successful, happy. They have a beautiful family. They have money. They're prospering. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm happy for them, but I need a little of the work.
Right.
You know, like, I gotta have something to work with. If y'all are both in love and you have a beautiful home and your kids are beautiful and smart, there's nothing going on, it's not a lot to work with. You know, I need something,
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good place to be if you don't have problems enough to be on any of the spinoffs.
Right? I mean, it's a bad problem money-wise if you want to be an influencer or a reality TV star, but
yeah,
there's
but
nothing
wrong. She's got a lot of different sponsors and all of that stuff for all that. She has so many followers and stuff. She's not going to be hurting for money, so.
Like, yeah, she's got like a million, and he has a lot too. So yeah, they're fine. So yeah. I want to talk about Cameroonian weddings because it was like one big reception. And I just want to say that Dave, who is Emily's dad, is like the best dad, right? Like, I feel like he embraced the cultural tradition of the wedding. I felt like he had an open mind. He just was there to have a good time. He wasn't taking anything too literally. He wanted to support his daughter and his son-in-law. And I thought that was really beautiful because, you know, in America and in some other countries too, we see people struggle embracing other cultures and embracing other people or races. And I just felt like it's beautiful to watch a bunch of white folks go to Africa and just be so open to learning about their culture, being a part of their culture and respecting their culture, right? Because we watch people like Ariella go to Africa and she had no respect for the culture. She had no interest in learning the culture. She didn't want to be a part of the culture. So it was a breath of fresh air to just watch Dave in general. Like, I know Lisa was trying, but it was kind of hard for her. But I know Dave was just like, we're in Cameroon, we're gonna act like we're Cameroonians and we're gonna enjoy this. And the wedding was interesting. Like, it was like a celebration reception. There wasn't like the real like ceremony. That's the part of the wedding that I like to skip, right? I don't like the ceremony. I like where I get drunk and dance.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. So I was like, man, I wish I was invited to this. There were drinks in hand at the beginning.
Yep.
So that's my type of wedding, right? Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. Yeah, Emily was stunning. She looks so beautiful. Like, she was so beautiful. So beautiful. I would love to have a wedding like that.
Emily, she looked great. Even the haters on Twitter, they were like, Emily cleaned up nice. Like, nobody had anything negative to say because they were like, okay, Emily. Like, her hair was on point. I don't know if the girls who did her makeup and her hair were a part of the wedding party or just like somebody that they hired, but they did so good, right? She looked amazing. She danced the traditional dance when she entered in. I'm not gonna lie. I was very, very happy with everything in these scenes. This, the respect of the two cultures. Cause you know, we were watching other people, especially people who happen to be Muslim or not Muslim. We just watched so many rejections of culture. And I just loved how open and respectful each family was, right? Kobe's family was respectful of them. They were respectful of Kobe's family. I just felt like it was a beautiful sight because we see so many people argue, break up, fight, scream, throw things over culture. And that wasn't the case here. And it just shows you that no matter, people from Kansas can be very, very tolerant and open and loving to anyone, even in Africa. And it just shows you that regardless of what you turn on your TV and see on the news, there are really good people out there, right? There are really good people out there who respect each other and love each other no matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, and that was beautiful.
And I'm glad that Valerie ended up showing up and, you know, not being a dick.
Well,
because he could have.
We don't know for sure because we heard the first part of his speech. So we don't know if it was going left or right. It reminded me so much of Drunk Charlie and Libby and Andre's Moldovan wedding, right? That was our first unhinged wedding speech that we got in the 90 Day Fiancé universe, and it didn't go well. But the good part is nobody understood what he was saying. They were in Moldova, you know, and only a handful of people there, none of Andre's family, I don't think, could understand any of it. But in this situation, everybody can understand what's going on because believe it or not, a lot of the people in Cameroon, if not all of them, are bilingual and they all speak English and their native tongue. So I thought that was also super interesting to learn, you know, because in some countries, English is not as common, but it seemed like everybody that they ran into in Cameroon, I don't think Kobe's father specifically spoke both, but most of the people, like his sister, everybody could speak some English, which I thought was really impressive.
She said, I don't even care that he only speaks French. She said, it's just, I can tell that what he's saying is with love. And it, I mean, you really could.
Absolutely.
It was beautiful.
It really was. It was. I felt like that was the highlight of the season because, you know, we're watching Angela and Michael.
Right.
You know, we were watching Nicole and Mahmoud. Like, we were watching some pretty toxic stuff. So I felt like it was nice to have a little bit of positivity and actual love and respect every now and then. It balances it out, right? So we're not just watching trashy stuff all the time, right? I felt like it was a good balance.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I'm hoping to hear the rest of the speech. I really hope that Valerie didn't show up to be a dick at their wedding. Because, I've always said this to you and Dee Dee too. I don't go to weddings that I don't agree with. Like, I'm not going to go and ruin your day. I feel like that's so out of place and it's so uncalled for. Like, I can, and again, I can love you as a friend and as a person, but not necessarily want to support what you're doing. But I'm not going to go there and make a negative scene on something that's supposed to be beautiful. That's not my place to do. So I hope he didn't show up just to be a dick to them, because that really piss me off. Friend or not, I consider myself really good friends with people, and I didn't go to their wedding because I didn't have anything positive to say, and it's not my place to go and say anything negative, right? And they're still my friend. I just didn't want to be a part of that. And I would love to put this out there. So I was right, okay? So I was right, but it wasn't my place to go and say anything like that in front of everybody. So hopefully, he keeps it classy and he definitely doesn't ruin the ceremony, because it was good vibes at the ceremony. Oh, I want to talk about Ashley saging Manuel, because we got a scene of her saging him and then him demanding that the $300. Okay, so we got a little more insight. She gave him $1,000, right? And he then took the money. She transferred it into his account. He then took the money and changed his banking password so she couldn't have access to what he was doing, which is super weird. But at the same time, his excuse was she just kept taking money out of his account. I don't know if I believe him or not, but
I
she
do. He
finally.
didn't fight it. She was like, "So that's why you changed it?"
Well, yeah, she didn't deny it, but they are married, right? Like, I feel like it's her money too, right? I mean, he doesn't work. It's her money too. But I do think that if she's giving him money specifically for a specific reason, like his family or whatever, she shouldn't go in there and buy coffee with that money.
I agree.
I feel like if you're going to take it on, because like Manuel said, I don't like to agree with him a lot, but he said, you knew, and I explained to you how important it is for me to make sure that my family's taken care of. And while I'm here and cannot work, that would fall into your responsibility. And he made that clear before he got to New York. He made it clear before he left Ecuador, and she agreed. So I do think that she's making him almost, she's trying to make him feel bad for needing to help his family, which I think it's interesting that they need so much money in in a country where money goes so much farther, right?
Because they're not in another country. I've said it all along, and so is Dee Dee. They're here, and money doesn't go that far. $1,000, that's not even someone's rent.
So Jonathan said that Manuel needs to come clean and tell her the truth. He didn't elaborate, but he said that it's very possible that he's sending money to his baby mama, which that's not uncommon. They have children together. Oh, and also Ashley thought they weren't communicating. How in the hell does someone have multiple children with a woman and they're not communicating with her?
That doesn't make any sense. I don't care what kind of picture he painted. Maybe they don't talk regularly, but you still have to communicate to send the money.
Well, and she's your direct line of communication to your kids.
Yes.
So it's impossible to cut her out of your life, because let's be real, if you treat a woman negatively and she's the mother of your children, she has the power to control when you can and can't, if ever,
Yeah.
see or talk to your children. So you have to make sure that you keep not only those lines of communication open, but you have to be very respectful and understanding of her situation, because she has that power and control,
Right.
right? And the fact that Jonathan is selling Manuel out, he's like, just tell her the truth. I'm really interested in knowing what Jonathan knows that we don't, because he clearly knows, because he said when they were in New York that Manuel was sending money, and he was like, tell her who you were sending the money to, and he hung up on him.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, something is going on, but nothing to surprise us. We knew that Manuel was up to no good, right? He's too secretive. He seems to want to do all of the things behind her back. Changing the bank password, I think, was really interesting, because she was able to see what and where he was spending money. And I think around the time that he changed it is probably when he was doing things like sending money from New York. Because remember, he asked at the dinner, he's like, well, why don't you go back to Rochester and I just stay here with Jonathan? And I was like, he's trying to do things behind her back. And it made me think his actual family is in New York. Because if
now Donna just said it before I did, but I think Jonathan's got a thing for Ashley.
Wait, really? Yeah. The cousin likes Ashley. Yeah. So wait, then I have a question. Do you think that Jonathan is actually being truthful about what Manuel is doing, or is he just trying to get Manuel out of the picture to make room for him? No.
Jonathan knows what he's doing, and I think that he's telling Ashley the truth. He's going to be the good guy. I think he's got the hots for her. I'm glad Donna said it, because that's exactly what I was thinking.
Hots for Ashley. That's kind of hard to fathom.
Oh, I agree.
Right?
I agree completely.
Kind of hard to fathom. And don't get me wrong, Ashley's not ugly. It's just her attitude.
Her attitude.
And like,
horrible.
Yeah, it's her attitude for me. I'm just so turned off. Like, yeah. And she's very shallow, right? Yeah. Like, she's a very shallow person. Like, everything is skin deep on the surface with her. There's no deep emotion. There's no understanding or realism. It's just shallow.
Can
and it's like, that's hard for me.
You know, anybody that's with her has to hear that cry when she cries.
I and they have to be saged. They have to be saged. She's literally saging him all the time. And I'm thinking, like, Ashley, the only person that needs to be saged is you. You have 3 degrees that you don't use, and your apartment has off-street parking.
Oh my God. Like, speaking of degrees, did you see the thing about Jasmine?
Wait, what's the thing about Jasmine?
The degree she supposedly has?
Well, she has something because she used to be a school teacher. And I think supposedly you have to have.
She has a PhD.
A PhD? Uh-huh. So wait.
She has a BA in literature, a master degree in higher education, a master degree in pedagogy, master degree in educational dynamic and methodology. She has a postgraduate degree in diverse education, a technical degree in accounting, suggested by her mom, a PhD in education and research, and multiple seminars and courses. I'm going to send this to you.
That doesn't seem possible. How can you have that many degrees? She's not even 40 years old.
I know.
A master's degree takes like 7 to 8 years, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right to me, unless it's one of those, you know, they have those degrees online where it's like a real world experience degree where it's not, I don't want to say it's not real, because I don't think that's accurate.
But she went on the internet, printed it off, and was like, oh, yay, now I have
a degree.
Yeah,
like, and it's like, I've heard them say, like, it's like real world experience with coursework. So, like, instead of going to school for like the full amount of time, they supposedly use some of your real world experience to knock some years off. But I don't think that's how degrees work. You know, I don't know. I don't want to knock anything, because I don't know if anybody might have one or anything like that. But I don't know. A PhD, I don't even know the amount of years you need, but that's a doctor. And yeah. I know that's like at least 10 years, maybe 12.
Yeah, and been filming for like...
For
90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, like, and she's a mom, and she was teaching for... She said she was teaching for many, many years too. So when would you have time to go to school full time to get that many degrees? That's interesting. Yeah, I want to see the list. Did she say this? Was this from her?
Yep, I sent it.
Really?
I sent it to you.
Interesting. So if this, okay, hypothetically, if this is true, that means that Jasmine is a lot more intelligent than we think she is. Sure. Or if it's not true, she's as intelligent as we think
exactly.
She is.
Exactly.
Right? So I don't want to say what, I don't know. So I don't want to say which one is what, but it would be interesting if we should be referring to her as Dr. Jasmine.
Yeah.
Instead of
Jasmine. But that's the thing. If she really had a PhD, if I had a PhD, I would want to be called doctor. And she's so vain. There's no way that's not.
Yeah.
There's no
way. I have friends. Actually, one of my cousins has a master's. Or what do you call it when you're an esquire? I think, she's a lawyer, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And she put esquire in her as her title. Yeah. Because, you know, she went to school for a long time.
Well,
you know,
Love in Paradise, the Dollar General version, we had Dr. April Carter, you know.
Oh, yeah, she's a legitimate doctor, like, practices medicine. Yeah, and if you put in that many years and that much dedication and that much money, you should be called by your title, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I 100% agree with that. If you went to school for that long, you're practicing medicine, you should be referred to as a doctor or a PhD. You know, and I respect that. And people that I know who are, I respectfully use their title because I feel they earned that. You know, they did a lot more school than I did. Okay. They did a lot more school than I did, and they passed and they stuck with it. And that's something interesting. I don't know. Now you're saying it and I hear it and I'm saying it out loud, I don't believe it.
Yep.
Don't believe it. I just don't. Because if you had a PhD, I feel like she would lead with that because people have always been.
I totally agree.
Yeah. People have always been calling her ditzy and everything. And I feel like she would lead with, oh, I have a PhD. Like, because that's a super good rebuttal for when people have something negative to say about you. It's like, oh, well, I have a PhD. Like, I feel like that's something she would have led with. So we're going to look into that a little bit more. Can you verify degrees?
I don't know, but
that's a question.
Like, oh my gosh, did this really just happen?
I feel like there should be like a website where you can verify degrees. Well, you know, there has to be, because when you apply for a job, like say for instance, you apply for a job that requires a master's degree or a PhD, they need to verify that to make sure that you're in a position to do that job. Because let's say it's to be a doctor, you're putting other people's lives in your hands. So there has to be a way that they go and they verify these degrees are accurate, real, authentic, and you know, oh, what's the transcripts?
Yep.
They can ask for transcripts. And I think those are like the legal document version of what you actually did.
Yeah.
Her and Ashley both have a PhD. Girl, Ashley, get out of here. If Ashley has a PhD, I'm a doctor.
Yeah. Like, me too.
I'm sorry, right? We're doctors. Let's start our residency, Carl. Let's just start residency. Now, if Ashley has a PhD in anything, I don't care if it's Harry Potter School of Wizardry. I don't care what it is. If she has a PhD, I'm a doctor. I'm a brain surgeon.
If she has a PhD, it's definitely a Harry Potter one.
Harry Potter School of Wizardry, I would buy that because you could probably just buy it at the theme park.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I'm pretty sure, right? Like, I would totally believe that. Like, remember the fake doctor that killed people with fake trachea? I do not remember that, Tina. What?
I did hear about that.
Is this recent?
No, this has been years ago, but
horrible. How can you be a fake doctor? See, now I'm worried that people aren't verifying credentials, right?
Yep.
Like, I'm worried if I'm going to the doctor, is my doctor a doctor or are they like a Harry Potter wizard? Like, now I'm worried.
Well, if you go to the doctor and they start staging your shit, then you know.
Yeah, and they're wearing a cloak. Yeah, they're wearing a cloak and not a doctor. Yeah. See, now we're going to have to start checking. I'm going to have to start double checking people now because now that makes me really scared. Oh, so Patrick and Thais were on for a hot second, and John is the first person this season to get a drink thrown in his face. Funny because I assumed it would be Michael on the receiving end of Angela, but it was not. Angela has not thrown anything at Michael this season, right? Like, that's interesting, right? It's not over yet, but I was like, Angela's coming out to be the non-violent person this season. Okay, I like the progression. But John got a drink in his face for calling Thais' friend a slut and then a son of a bitch after she threw the drink at him. And I felt like watching this scene, I was like, believe it or not, we've gotten the most crazy scenes and action out of Thais, Patrick, and John than everybody this season.
Yeah.
Even out of Nicole and Mahmood. Like, we've gotten more action, more aggression, more violence out of everybody. And I was like, who would have thought? Because Patrick and Thais are the two calm, most boring, relaxed, easygoing people ever. But I guess when you throw John in the mix, you never really know what you're going to get.
Right.
And
literally said, I called her a slut because I don't know very many words in Portuguese. So.
Right. He doesn't. And so how do you feel about that? Calling her a slut? Was that okay? Because
was
like,
totally okay.
Really?
Shut your damn mouth. Absolutely. Shut your damn mouth. You want to come in and call me?
She was trying to say that John's a bad influence and he was trying to encourage Patrick to cheat on Thais. I've never seen in any of the scenes that we got that he was trying to encourage him to cheat. I do think that Patrick and John together can be a little questionable. Like, did you notice that Patrick kept taking Thais or John's side during the argument? And I was like, Patrick, remember where you sleep. You know,
right.
Like, you have.
But at the same time, he knew she was in the wrong. She's the one that painted John to be this bad guy, just like she painted Patrick to be this bad guy. She only told her friends the bad that Patrick does. So John's the bad influence. So the friends already come in with a bad taste in their mouth. That's like me telling you this and this and this about this person, and all you know is my side. And then you get here and you automatically hate this person because of all the shit I told you. And none of it's true. I only told you the bad. I didn't tell you all the good that they're doing for me.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I think all on her. This whole, all the bullshit, all of it. The dad,
yeah,
on her.
Thais kind of does. She creates the problems, because the problems with her dad and the blessing, she created that problem by not telling him what she was doing. And then, you know, her friends, you know, like, you nailed it. Her friends have a negative thought process about John and Patrick, and how else would they have that unless it came from Thais?
Exactly.
They don't know them. They're in a different country. Exactly. So she's letting herself create these personas of people in her life, and then she doesn't go back and correct it. And I think this happens a lot, though, because I have friends where she'll tell me, like, oh, so-and-so is abusive, and he's verbally abusive, or whatever, and then we'll, like, a month or two later, we'll all go out, and then they're all together. They're together.
Yeah.
And I'm just supposed to forget, like, oh, things were horrible, you were screaming and cussing at her, and I'm just supposed to forget. You know, there's no follow-up, nobody told me, like, oh, we're fine now, we're not fighting anymore, so now I'm side-eyeing this person.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I remember what happened, but I guess they got over it. So why was I even brought into it in the first place? I don't know, because I didn't want to be a part of it,
yeah,
in the first place. So now I have a grudge against a person I don't even know.
Yeah. And then she went on to defend Natalie through the whole thing. So that says even more about her. Like, she's just a shit starter. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. She's one of those. Have you seen that meme? It's a little girl and there's a house burning down and she's, like, walking past it with the matches in her hand. You seen that,
yes,
meme?
That's
Thais,
yes,
right? Like, I feel like there's a house burning down and she's not calling 911. She's just walking away and she's holding the matches,
yep,
and she's just letting everything blow up in flames. I kind of feel like that's because she's the creator of all the issues.
Yeah.
But she doesn't do anything to cause a solution.
No.
She just starts the problems and lets everybody fight.
She doesn't take any accountability for it.
Yeah.
She doesn't say,
it's,
well,
always their fault.
Yeah. She doesn't say, well, I told you he did this, but what I didn't tell you is how this happened or whatever. You know, she needs to take some accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what John tried to do last week at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Like, your daughter's the issue. You know, like, your daughter's a liar. Figure out why your daughter lies to you, and then, you know, you won't be in this situation.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of accountability, so Sophie and her mom, because her mom is attached at the hip, it's with her, she can't do anything without her mom, went over to Rob's apartment to get her stuff. And Claire said something really funny to me when Sophie went to go get her stuff. She's like, I just want you to know, Rob, that I didn't have anything to do with this decision of Sophie leaving or whatever. And I'm like, why are you lying?
Yeah.
You literally have been encouraging her to leave him for, like, the past 6 months. It's like, since the day she arrived here and never left, by the way.
Yeah.
She arrived here to meet him for the wedding and has never left. That's questionable as hell.
Yep.
Why are you still here? Then they were in LA. They moved to Austin. She follows them to Austin. She's in Austin now.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, inserting herself in there. And then she's sitting there lying in this man's apartment. Like, this isn't, you know, I didn't have anything to do with this. I think that, you know, she just needs a moment. I was like, no, the reason why she's so confused and can't make one single decision on her own is because she was raised by you.
Yeah.
Like, don't lie. That pissed me off, because I was like, the reason why she's so messed up is because of you. And then every time that she tries to do something on her own, you cloud her decision and her thought process, so she can't make any sound decisions. Everything,
yeah,
is you in her ear squiggling around, like, confusing the hell out of her. Because if you've noticed, we haven't gotten one single certain statement out of Sophie this whole season, because she really don't know what she want to do and she can't figure it out because her mom won't let her think.
Yeah.
Like, her mom is so close. She's, like, inside of her,
yeah,
head. She won't even let her think.
But also, she said, Sophie said to Rob, I'm sick of you treating me like a child. And then goes outside and says, with her stuffy, this could be me, or this could be me. This is why you're treated like a child, because you act like a freaking child. So, gotta have your mom everywhere. You gotta communicate with stuffed animals. This is you, girl. This is all you. So, I'm 100,000% Team Rob, and I never thought I would be. But
yeah, I am too. I'm beginning to think that Rob isn't as much. I think he's a dick. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that he's like the a-hole that they describe. Because we were talking about this before. He's made changes, right? Like, she asked for a bigger apartment. He, you know, they had to move states, but he made it happen. She wouldn't even stay there. She wanted indoor plumbing. He got it. She wanted him to stop talking. I mean, I'm assuming he stopped talking to other girls online. We don't know. She won't stay there long enough for us to figure it out. But it doesn't really matter what Rob does to change, because she's like, I need you to change. But then she disappears for months at a time. And I'm like, so how are you monitoring his progress? Right? Like, you ask him to do something for you, and then you disappear for months at a time and go stay with Kay. And then she had the audacity in the scene for next week to be like, I'm worried about what he's going to be doing on his birthday at the club. You know, he could be flirting with other girls, which he should. You've given, right? Like, since you've married this man, you've given him like 14 minutes of attention. It's been over a year. If he wants to go out on his birthday, which you're not even going to go. She wasn't even going to go. She doesn't even care about him, but she doesn't want him
living with her girlfriend. I mean, she's living with someone else.
Completely. Right. So, and she's bisexual.
Right, so go out. Yeah. Absolutely.
He should go out and bang anybody he wants. Like, because she's like, well, is he going to, you know, respect our relationship? I was like, when are you going to respect your relationship? And it's like, I hate that I'm on his side, but you haven't respected this man since the moment. It's like she got here. And she brought her mommy here, and she got everything she needed from Rob, and now Rob is just basically trash.
Yeah.
Like, she's trash, and she can't figure out the way to take the trash and detach it from herself. Like, no matter what he does, he's sitting there looking stupid because she doesn't care. Because she's like, when he gave her the...
sit down for this, for any kind of conversation at all. Rob's very mature and very mellow, and he's just trying to talk it out. And she's got to escalate it every time. And then when she doesn't escalate it, Claire butts in and she escalates it.
It's like a tag team, right? It's like a tag team. It's like she brings Claire there just in case she's not strong enough to be a dick to him.
Yeah.
Because when he gave her the teddy bear, the stuffed animal, she's like, now I don't really want to do what I need to do now. Because regardless of what he did or said, she still needed to do what she did. It's really, she comes across as really cold to me, but I feel like it was a business transaction, kind of like with Manuel and Ashley. Like, she doesn't feel anything for Rob because there wasn't ever anything there. She needed a way to get over here. She found a sucker, and now she's like, well, now that I'm here, I don't want to be around this sucker, you know? Like, so now she's doing everything in her power to be a dick to him, so he will walk away, so she doesn't have to feel bad. But unfortunately, Rob is like chasing her like a sad little puppy, right? Yeah. Like, he really wants her back. He really did love her. And it's interesting because at first I wasn't 100% sure. Like, when we first met him in the first season, I was like, I'm not sure if this dude likes her or if he's just a cheater who, you know, because every cheater has a pretty wife at home.
Right.
So I was like, I wasn't sure about him. But I actually think he really does love her, and she never loved him at all. And that's the vibe that I'm getting. And now that she's here, and she got everything that she wanted, she's just looking for the way to detach herself from him.
Yep, I agree. I'm just 100% Team Rob now.
Oh, I saw a tweet last night, and it said, every time we see Jonathan, he's 15 pounds heavier. Have you noticed, does Jonathan look bigger to you? Or do you think it's just the photo angle? Because somebody tweeted it, and they were like, when we first saw him at the beginning of last season, when they were on regular 90 Day Fiancé, he was really, really skinny. And they said, now compare, he's like bigger. Do you think that's true, or you think it's just angling? I know when you're on TV, you always look bigger than you are.
Right. I don't know. I haven't really paid attention, to be honest.
I looked at the tweet, and he was on the screen when I read it, and I was like, space looks fuller. You know, like, it's very possible. I was like, I don't know. But, you know, when he was on the FaceTime, like, the phone was like below his chin. So, you know, there's angles on the phone where people look different.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not 100% sure what's going on with that. But I think you're on to something with Jonathan sees Ashley as a good opportunity for him.
Yep.
He's already here, so he doesn't need any green card or anything from her. But as relationship wise, she will hand you money. And yeah. She asks minimal.
And she'll have sex with you literally anywhere.
Anywhere. Bathroom, car, yep. Train station, ditch, anywhere. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity for anyone, right? And I think that you might be on something, because I think Jonathan looks at it as Manuel is squandering a good opportunity. Yeah. And I think he's like, well, if you don't want this opportunity that is being presented to you on a golden platter, I'll take yep. it. Right? You know, like, I'll take it. Like, if you want to walk away from this, I'll take it. Also, Manuel is not going back to Ecuador. Just want to throw that out there. Just like Julia, I go Russia. And Yara, I go Ukraine.
Yep.
Nobody's going anywhere. Yeah. This is just a tactic to get what you want and to get your way, which is totally fine. I think that manipulation, to some extent, makes sense in all relationships, right? I feel like people use certain things to get what they want. I think it's not healthy, but I think it's just a realistic part of relationships. But I don't like it when people threaten to leave when they're on a visa, because you have to remember that person paid thousands and thousands of dollars and made a lot of sacrifices to get you here. So it's kind of like a gut punch
right.
when you say that, because he's like, I'll just go back to my country and leave. And it's like, I don't like Ashley, but that was really a gut punch because she really did put a lot into this. She's literally just blindly throwing money down a pit to be in this relationship with him. So I did feel like that was crazy.
It's her fault. You,
yeah, yeah.
You don't.
I don't feel bad.
You don't get to be a witch and not see this shit coming. Come on.
See, I tweeted last night. I was like, even you don't even need to be a witch to see the scam that's happening right now. You just need to have like two working brain cells at this point, right? Like, and have like not even all common sense, like three or four of the senses, right? Just you don't need to be a clairvoyant, you don't need to be a psychic, you don't need to be a witch. You just have to have a working functional brain to see what's going on. And I'm just like, can you imagine, there are people, because she has a business that maintains her lifestyle, where people are paying her for her psychic and witch abilities, and they're asking her to read cards and give them life advice. And it blows my mind, because I was like, should I just add like a witch side to my website and just start charging people outrageous amounts of money and tell
them? Well, all you gotta do is split right? the cards and be like, oh shit, I didn't know that there was gonna be a storm in Florida.
In hurricane season, yeah. Right? I was like, if I can charge somebody $50 to tell them anything, I'm just gonna throw a tab on my website. Last month we had 1 million views on my website. Can you imagine if I was charging people $50? Yeah. To tell them like random stuff that I read off of a card, yeah. Right? I'm gonna sign to get my PhD.
You put up the link. I'll write up some cards. We'll both have our PhD, and then
in Harry Potter School of Wizardry.
Yes, and it'll be super simple. I live in the desert. I can literally send you pounds of sage. We're good.
You did tell me that, right? Yeah. And then we can sell. Like we can like. Bless our sage and then sell it to people and tell them that it's better than all the other sage.
We got this.
I'm totally down. And then with the extra money, we can go to casinos. Yeah. That's like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I want to go to a casino and just blow money, but I'm not rich enough to do that. So this will be like a way to fund our habit.
Yeah.
The casino.
Sounds good.
Apparently Ashley's funding her whole lifestyle off of giving people witchery advice, which makes it blows my mind.
But
because
once
I would
hit that first million,
right?
Just like Ashley, once we hit that first million.
Well, yeah, she said, well, what's gonna happen when I make $1 million? Is he gonna be able to take half of it? And I was like, first of all, the government will take half of it because you owe everybody. So first of all, he's not your main issue. All the loans and bad debt that you have, those are your issue. Manuel will get whatever's left after that, which is probably nothing. Right?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, I don't think Manuel married Ashley and he was like, I'm going to marry her because she's going to be a millionaire one day. I don't think that crossed his mind. Right? I don't think that crossed.
Rich.
Exactly. Like, I think he was like, she looks like a sucker enough to get me over here and fund me until I can start working. Like, I think that's what his thought process was. Anything after that was just extra.
His
right? Like, it's an added
process
bonus.
Was she can fund me enough to get me there. To be with my actual family, with my wife.
And then I can leave her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like that's,
then
he,
I'll
I
pronounce
feel like
her
he didn't even.
Jonathan. Jonathan can have her
Well,
once I go to my wife
well,
and
yeah, and I feel like Jonathan might actually treat her better, right? I feel like Jonathan is more respectful of a good opportunity, right? I feel like Manuel does kind of act like he's like from the royal family a little bit. Like, I don't know if you get that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, he walks around like he's from the royal family and he's like better than everyone.
Oh,
And
yeah.
he's like, I don't know why she's fighting me on this. She just has to pay for me and give me this money and do it. I'm like, she doesn't have to do anything, bro. She can send you back.
Right.
Like, she doesn't have to do anything. I don't know why you over here acting like you're Princess Diana's child. You know, like, you're acting
Yeah.
pretty holy right now. Like, it's not that serious. She doesn't have to do nothing for you. She could tell your family to go and deal with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that he's definitely taking advantage, and then he almost takes it too far to where he's like gonna get cut off, right? Like, you know how if you're getting an allowance or a kickback or something, don't take it too far to get cut off, you know? Just don't ask for too much,
Yeah.
right? Don't ask for more than you deserve, right?
All he needed was to get here. Let's be real. He didn't need her money. He just needed to get here where the family is. That's it.
Yeah. That's, yeah, his main goal was to be here with his family, and without, and I think with his family already being here, he couldn't marry his wife already, right?
Right.
Like, isn't that how it works? Yeah, because
but
they
we
were from
also
the
have
same.
to remember, part of what we're not talking about is that he's getting TLC money too. So
oh yeah,
he doesn't have to have her money. He's good now. He got where he needed to be. He got paid for the first season. He's getting paid for the second season. I believe that they're going to be on the bullshit, whatever, the
they are
last resort
last
stuff.
Resort.
So that's a whole nother check.
Maybe that's why his demeanor has changed a bit. He's a little less tolerant of her in general. Like, the way he talks
oh,
to
am
her
I?
Now. Right? I feel like we were tortured enough when I saw the TLC pillow. Did you see the scene? She was yelling at him on the couch and there was a TLC pillow behind her on the couch. And I was like, imagine being rewarded for ruining a show that I loved.
Yep.
I was like, how dared them give you
yep.
gifts? I'm so pissed that I'm watching you again and then they're giving you
yeah.
gifts.
Yeah.
Like, way to tell somebody you did a great job when they came in last place. I was like, that pissed me off. I saw the pillow and I was like, why am I so triggered by the fact that they're giving her gifts? I like, and not kicking her off the show. I was like, really triggered. I was like,
never, ever in the history of this show have I ever seen TLC props in any scene except for this.
Right. Same. I haven't either.
You know,
I haven't either because I feel like it's all.
Like, why is she not using her TLC coffee cup? She drinks a lot of coffee.
Oh, and I think for Christmas this past year, they got a TLC shopping bag.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it was somewhere in her apartment. But yeah, I was pissed because I was like, how dare they give you gifts as though you're doing a good job? I was like, I am tolerating you because I like the show, but how dare they give you the wrong idea and think that this is working for anybody?
Yeah.
Because it's not. Like, I'm so done. Okay, so we're going to come back tomorrow. Oh, so Dee Dee said that she can't be back this week. I guess she's traveling.
Yeah.
So she's going to be traveling this week. So we're going to come back tomorrow. I can't wait because I really, really want to talk about this MILF Manor episode.
It
got good.
Good
it
one.
Really, really did. Like, guys, if you haven't been watching or if you've been bored, a lot of people have been told me it's boring. It got really good. Last night, I legit paused it because I wanted to go get something to drink. I was having such a good time, right? So like,
it started slow, but it picked up. And
did
it? Last was good.
Oh, my God. Kelly is really making her way into the show, and she's getting into her own. And I'm not against violence. No, I am. But if it does happen on the show, you know, it happened, and there's nothing I can do about that. I'm against
right.
violence that happened yet, right? Like, I can't change anything that's happened already. Oh, and we're going to talk about the season finale of Love in Paradise tomorrow, too, which came on tonight. I know you haven't watched yet, so I'm not going to comment whatsoever. So we're going to, I watched it right before this, but we're going to come back and talk about that tomorrow. So those two shows tomorrow. And then I'm going to text you tonight because we need to talk about some of the unexpected episodes. I'm going to see when you're available this week so we can do that too. Thank you guys for joining and staying here with us. So 5 more episodes to go. Happily ever after. And then, oh, but next Monday, good news. We are jumping right in to The Other Way with almost all new couples. I mean, we got
okay.
Sarper and Shekinah and Statler and Dempsey, but everybody else is all new. So try to focus on the good, right?
Right.
Got And you know, when Sarper and Shekinah are on, you can go to the bathroom, you can get your snacks, you can get your drinks, you can fast forward, whatever you gotta do. I'll pick one of all of the above. But I'm really excited for the season though, because the new season people are my favorite, but The Other Way is actually my favorite spinoff ever, because I just like watching Americans struggle thinking that they can live like other people, right? That's just my favorite part, because we can't. We are so spoiled. Even our worst rock bottom is not as bad as what people are dealing with on a daily basis overseas. So I'm excited for that. All right, guys, make sure you're following my co-host, Kara. She's tagged in this video. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you catch podcast, type in the George Massey Show. We're gonna come back tomorrow night. I'll put on my story what time. I'm not sure what time yet. We're gonna, like I said, talk about MILF Manor and Love in Paradise, the season finale, and then next Monday night we will be talking about The Other Way because we have to. All right, guys, everybody have a wonderful night. Talk to y'all
See you
soon.
tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.